The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is on page 909 of the Pew Bibles. It is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting,
and divided the tongues as a fire appeared to them,
and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. But he has no claim. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To be a Christian is to believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In their essence, they are one God, such that if the person of Jesus does something, you could also say that it was done by the Father and the Spirit. Otherwise, there would be a division in the divine nature. Yet, each person is unique. Each person of the Trinity is uniquely associated with a specific act. The Father with creation, the Son with redemption, and the Holy Spirit with sanctification. And Pentecost is the day that the church sets aside to meditate upon the specific work, the special power of the Holy Spirit. Talking about the power of the Spirit is one of the tougher acts because the Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself. As Jesus said about the Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. But Jesus also talks a bit more about what the power of the Spirit will be in our gospel text today. Jesus says first that he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. The second thing that Jesus says is, my peace I leave with you, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We talked last week about not letting your hearts be afraid. Last week we saw the Spirit-inspired courage, that lack of fear, and how the apostles took care of things internally. They had seen Jesus ascend into heaven, yet they were convinced that he was more with them than ever. And they had the authority to act, to prepare for the coming of the Spirit and power. They did that by gathering to worship together. They did that by appointing someone to replace Judas in the ministry. And they did that by believing that 120 gathered would have a mission to the entire world. Today, on Pentecost, we see this courage in two specific ways. After the Spirit has manifested itself in power, immediately that mission to the world is started. Those gathered disciples immediately start preaching to the gathered. And the world does what it does to preaching. It attacks the source. Are these men not Galileans? That is simply code word for foolish bumpkins. Who are these people to be preaching to us? And the world also attacks on the basis of the preaching. They are filled with new wine. This courage that the crowds see has to come from somewhere. And the easiest place that some of them think it can come from is the bottom of the bottle. The devil and the world will slander your witness and will slander the source and courage of that witness, the Holy Spirit. They continue in their blasphemy. They did it to Jesus himself. They did it to the apostles on the first day of their public witness. And they will do it right up until Christ throws all of it into the lake of fire. But this doesn't stop Peter, who's full of the courage of the Spirit and addresses the crowd and tells them exactly what is going on. It isn't new wine, but the promised Spirit of the last days. And as he continues beyond the text that we read, he testifies to them about what they have seen. Christ crucified, risen, and ascended. You crucified and killed the Lord of glory. But the Father has raised him. And this one now sits at the right hand of God. 50 days ago, they killed the Lord. But now in the Spirit, the disciples have the courage to convict that crowd. Christian life brings its own power. The Holy Spirit has been sent by the Father. That was left us by Jesus with his people. Empowers the people of God to rise in courage to the challenge. When a Spirit-filled people move on that mission, yes, they will be attacked. But it's also the inbreaking of that last day. Wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. When you call upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit grants you answers not according to this world, but according to the world that is to come. Do not let your hearts be afraid or troubled. Because God is in control. And he will divide things to find their correct end. Jesus says that the Spirit grants two other things. Teaching and peace. First, we'll talk about the teaching. The power of the Spirit is such that the disciples are given a message that's going to preach. They're given a message that reaches every heart in their native tongue. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. This first sermon given by Peter and the rest of those apostles, inspired by the Spirit, is the model of every Spirit-inspired sermon. Every sermon will have the announcement. The fancy word is kerygma. This, in our text, is the proclamation of the mighty works of God. These are the things that are undeniable. Jesus, whom you crucified, is Lord. He's risen. And he sits at the right hand of God. All who believe will be saved. The announcement of Jesus at the start of his ministry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." When Luther talks about law and gospel, he was talking about that announcement. God has told us we are sinners in the law. And God has shown us that we are his beloved children through the cross. The creed that we confessed is another version of that announcement. We believe this. This stuff is fact. This is what has happened for us. And the announcement always leads to the question that the people who hear it have. What does this mean? It's Luther's favorite question in the Catechism for a reason. What does it mean that these uneducated Galileans are preaching with full authority? It means that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. It means that these are the days of the fulfillment of the prophets. It means the real crisis has come to you. You've heard the announcement, and you've heard the teaching. Do you believe it? Or do you join in the mockery? It's not that the church does not have a full and well thought out teaching based upon word and spirit. She does. The Spirit has constantly led the church in the truth. The Spirit has taught us all things that are necessary. The question is, do we accept the teaching? Or do we call the Spirit a liar? After Peter presses his case, making the announcement and teaching clear, the crowds respond, "What shall we do?" This is the third part of any Spirit-empowered preaching. It's called an exhortation. You've heard, and you know. Now live it. Peter's words to them on this day were, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit, and this promise is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for all who are far off." That's us. Time and space. That's everyone who is stuck in that crisis of hearing and knowing. What do we do? Believe. Claim that promise of God. It's for you. And then live it. The last part of that Spirit-enabled teaching is the specific casework. For Peter that day, the specific casework was a lot of baptisms. The sermon ends with the notice, "Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Specific casework is the work of a living congregation. Our living congregation is going to get it right every time. If they seem to, they probably aren't really living. Because the Spirit's work is sanctification. And do we have anybody here who has reached that state of perfect holiness? Okay, just checking. Maybe we have a real good Wesleyan here who has done that. But a living congregation usually keeps the Holy Spirit busy, helping us live in the truth that we've heard and the teaching that we've confessed. But the deepest truth that we should hear is the greatest thing that the Holy Spirit empowers. And that's the peace of God. This world is always in commotion. There are always wars and rumors of war. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are always running free somewhere. And if you didn't hear the proclamation, "Jesus is Lord and he's risen," and take to heart what it means, you could lose a lot of sleep just over the news. I've always been an Ecclesiastes guy on this. Our natural person only has two options: constant worry or the complete hardening of our hearts. Overcare or not caring at all. But Jesus has left us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us peace not as the world gives. The world gives peace by making your heart grow cold or by running you ragged. Spirit gives peace by his testimony. Jesus has the whole world in his hands. Just like that old VBS song. There's nothing that happens here that won't be made right according to his grace. Does that absolve us from everything? No. But to be honest, living the exhortation is tough enough most days. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And the rest we turn over to the power of the Spirit. Deliver us from evil. And Jesus has already done that. The evil one has already been judged. Your life is hidden with the Father in Christ. Live in that Spirit-given peace. Amen.